Lord bless each one. There's a great change in me. Praise God. What I am, brother. Great change in me. Touched mine, praise God. Let's sing it this evening just a few times. Then we're going to turn to the Word of God, and God bless each one in this room and each one tuned in. The Lord bless you tonight. God's good, isn't He? Amen. You know, I was sitting there, you know, I was thinking, I was looking over what I was going to preach, and I was praying this evening at home, up in the wee place I have in the roof space. God never changes His mind. Whatever the Lord told you years ago, it's still good tonight. Amen. We change. We change. We can doubt our own calling, what the Lord's give us, but God never changes. He never changes. Praise God. I'm glad He never changes. Let's sing this a few times. Go on ahead, brother, and lead us. Praise God. It had touched my evening. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we're thankful tonight when Your wounded hand touched mine. Lord, when You touched us, You delivered us and You set us wonderfully free. Him who the Son sets free is free indeed. No longer to be entangled again by the yoke of bondage. Lord, we're glad you've set us free tonight. Lord, you put a song in our souls, even praise us unto our God the King. Father, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. Lord, I pray the Holy Ghost will move in this house. And over everyone listening in tonight, take your word. For your word is a seed. And Lord, I pray that it'll find good ground. And it'll bring forth some 100, 1,000-fold in the name of the Lord. Touch that dear woman watching in right now in the name of Jesus. Touch that man, that boy or that girl in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for the Holy Ghost to help me this evening. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let us turn tonight to the Word of God till 1 John. And I want to read, I maybe didn't give Matthew all the verse, from verse 10 of 1 John 5. And it's verse 10. And the Lord bless your sister Alva and brother Gary. I love to hear that everything going. The guitar, the organ, everything. The hands and the feet too, if you can get them working. Dancing. Praise God. Toppy-toeing. They used to talk about the Pentecostal two-step. You ever hear that, brother? There's the Pentecostal two-step. Hey, praise God, you know. Thank God. God is real. Amen. I want to read from verse 10 of 1 John 5, starting from verse 10. And I want to sort of continue from last week. And I really felt that this would help some people. Maybe they're not even in this room. Maybe they are. But the Lord's word will not return void. He that believeth on the Son of God have the witness in himself that he believeth not. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of the Son. And this is the record that God have given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Where's the life? In his Son. It's not in the church. It's not in a movement. It's not in some earthly man that you can run around the corner tell. But it's in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Praise God. He that hath the Son hath life. Amen. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Amen. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. Amen. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Amen. You could read on verse 14. This is the confidence which we have. Once we know we've got him, we have confidence that when we pray in his name, he answers us. Because we have him. When you have something, you're possessing it. You're a bearer of it. You're a container of it. And him that's got the Son's got life. Not just ordinary life, but everlasting life. Life and life to spur. Praise God for eternal life tonight. Hallelujah. I want to just try and briefly continue on. And I want to say from tonight, from starting from where I left off, he is yours when you believe and trust him. He's yours. When you believe in him, adhere to him, obey his commandments, he is yours when you believe and trust him. And I'll tell you, people talk about backsliding and leaving the Lord, but the Lord never leaves the person.
That's right. Amen.
The Bible says God is forever married to the backslider.
Amen.
David backslid, but God restored him. The joy he lost, but God gave him back the joy of his salvation. Hallelujah. But tonight I believe I'm speaking to people that have got the joy.
Amen.
And you have the Lord, and you're serving the Lord, and you're trusting him tonight. But till any man or woman that doesn't know the Lord, he's yours. As soon as you take him. You take him at his word and he'll take you at your word. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We heard this morning that Brother Laurie continued on the book of Acts. The Bible says, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost come on them. Were they saved then? Absolutely. Then they said, can any man forbid water that these be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost, the same as us? And they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, it is the Lord you need. And it is the Lord you need to take. Just like when a man marries a young woman, he takes the name. The woman takes the name. I know we're living in a modern society. Some of them keep their name. But that's not the way it's meant to be. I'm sorry. You're meant to take the man's name. You become Mrs. McKinstry, Mrs. Anderson, whatever the name is, it's just examples, Mrs. Jackson. Hallelujah! Amen. You take the name, and you take his name, Mrs. Jesus Christ. He's a bride, and the Bible says the bride has made herself ready and he's coming for the bride. Hallelujah! She takes his name. She's not called Mrs. such and such, and I'm not going to mention all the names because somebody could say, well, you condemned that one, you didn't condemn the other one. I won't condemn any of them. But you know what I'm saying? It's one name. One name. No organization. No creed but Christ. No book but the Bible. You take the name. And I'm going to tell you this evening, when you take that name, there's power with it. You don't need a church round for it. Looking over the hills here, there, and yonder, there's power with a name. Power with a name that changes you. Power with a name that delivers you. There's power with a name. And when you get that name, it does something to you. The Bible says everlasting life comes in. Amen. As God is eternal, you become eternal. In that you receive eternal life. You weren't before it. I know some people, they have all sorts of doctrines. But I'm not worried in them. I'm worried about the Bible. Some people think they can save themselves. I tell you, you couldn't save a fly if it had a headache. And I don't know about a fly with a headache, but I'm just saying, there's nothing mere you can do it. We need the Lord. We need him. But he's available. It is true that God has given us freely everlasting life. It is also true that this life is in his Son. I want to stress this over. I'm going to stress it in this service. I'm going to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it deliberately. It's deliberate. I hear so much preaching today in different places and I don't want to listen to them. But I tell you, when you listen to the apostles, when you read the Bible, this is the language of the Bible. It's not different from this. This is how the Bible speaks. He that hath the Son of everlasting life. But how do we know, how do we get Christ in this life that's in him? How do we get it? How do we know it? Salvation is given to us, but how do we receive it? This is the question. And here comes the answer. And it's in verse 14 and 13 of our text tonight. These things have I written unto you that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God and that ye may know. What's it say? That ye may know. It doesn't say that you're going to be left in question. You're going to be left in doubt. When you receive the name, you're going to know. You're going to know it. You're going to know you have everlasting life when you take the name. That ye have eternal life. You can't die then. No matter about this body, what happens, absent from the body, present with the Lord, is a bonus. We should never worry about death. It's a step over to another dimension. That's all it is. We're going to go and be with the Lord. And that ye may believe in the name of the Son of God. Only those who believe on the Son of God may know they have eternal life. That's why so many people don't know. They know they belong to a church. They know they're members of an organization, a sect, or any other thing. But do they know that they belong to Jesus Christ? Have they took them? If they've took them, they belong to them. And they have eternal life. And this is written, that the people may believe in the name of the Son of God. We receive Christ, and salvation is in him. As soon as you receive Christ, you receive salvation. For Jesus Christ is salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name given under the whole of heaven whereby you must be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing you need. How simple is the gospel? People want to complicate it, but it is not complicated. It is simple. I really believe with all my heart that what God originally told me as a preacher was to preach a simple message. And I believe the Spirit of God said it'll be simple, plain, and powerful. That's all that God told me. I don't need nothing fancy, because I know if I do what God said, God has to do the rest, not me. He has to do it. And he will do it. Because he says, I will finish what I've started. He's able to perform in you the thing he began. Hallelujah! And to present you faultless. Glory to God before the Father. A lamb without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. No matter what you believe about a ferry boat, and I'm just using this for an example, it will not take you across the river or the lake or wherever you're going until you get on it. You could know the ferry. We used to go on the ferry over to Port of Ferry. I worked over there for several years. I did foreman for a firm. And we got the ferry across each morning, the ferry back each evening. And it was a slow enough old thing. And the bend at what way the wind was blowing, the waves were going, quick it got over. But it got you over. But you wouldn't have got over if you'd have tried to take the car over without it. It wouldn't have worked. You'd have been in the bottom. You had to get on it. If you're going to go to England in the morning, you're going to have to get on the plane and go over, or the ferry. And if you want to get to heaven, you must come by Jesus.
Hallelujah.
You must board the ark of salvation.
Amen.
And the ark of salvation is Jesus Christ. There was only one ark of salvation in the days of Noah. And there's only one ark of salvation today. There's not two. This idea, and I want to hit this down hard tonight. Maybe not for anybody in here, but those tuned in this evening. There's no such thing as a new message that brings a different way of being saved than what we had before. That's a false teaching from the pit of hell. What God has sent is to turn us back to the original apostolic message that the first church had. And the first church preached Christ. My Bible says in the book of Acts, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And unclean spirits came out, crying out with loud voice, out of many. And there was great joy in the city.
Amen.
And it didn't finish there. After Philip got through with his revival preaching of salvation, the disciples went down after him and laid hands on them. And they all got filled with the Holy Ghost. Is that the Bible?
Yes.
That's the Bible I'm reading. Which one are you reading?
Amen.
Is that the Word of God? Oh, hallelujah. You need to get on. No matter what you believe about Jesus Christ, he cannot be your Savior until you trust him. You can pray, tell him, you can do all sorts. You can say different things about him, but you must trust him. And hear, tell his word, obey his word, trust in the Lord. Saving faith means that you must depend upon Jesus Christ personally. No other props. Not the prop of the church or the minister or the general overseer or the general superintendent or the priest or the set of rosary beads or the Pope of Rome or the Pope of any other organization. And there's lots of them, as well as the Pope of Rome. You don't need any of them. It is Jesus Christ alone you need. It is Jesus Christ alone that saves. Oh, and if you don't see it our way, you're not in. If you don't receive Christ, you're not in. And if you've got Christ, you're in. And you're in to stay in. Hallelujah. It is Jesus that saves you. Who can steal away from what the Lord saved? Nobody can pluck you from the hands of the Lord. I'm glad the Lord's a Savior. And He's a keeper. Amen. I tell you, if you didn't go by all the rules and the thumbs and the laws and the measuring tape, you wouldn't last long, would you? And then you'd go over to some other group and they have a different set. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the way?
Amen.
And some people mightn't see everything the way you see it, but that doesn't mean they're not saved.
Amen.
And some people might see everything the way I see it, but that still doesn't mean they're not saved. If they believed in Jesus Christ, they're saved. That's the end of it.
Amen.
That's the simple of it.
Amen.
Oh, but I believe a certain thing, and he doesn't believe it, and he doesn't see it. Is he saved or is he not saved? Does he believe in the Lord?
Amen.
Now we know there's truth in the Bible we want to follow. We believe that. But I'll tell you one thing, you can't clean a fish till you catch it. And there's too many preachers today cleaning fish that never was caught. That's the truth. God does not want aquarium keepers. He wants fishers of men. I'm going to say it again. God does not want aquarium keepers. He wants fishers of men. Look at that one. That's a nice one. It's not yours. It's the Lord's. It's the Lord's. My brother talked about Brother Peter when he was in a trance and he saw someone. I was sitting here the night. All I could see was a fly. Now you might know what that means, but I do. Because there's a fella sitting there knows what it means. That's what you catch a fish on. And you need the right fly to catch the fish. And you get the fly on the hook and you go fishing. And Jesus says, I've made you fishers of men. Jesus called the disciples and he didn't say, I'm going to make you boys to have the best doctrine the world's ever heard. You don't read that. You read that Jesus says, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men.
Amen.
And no matter how many doctrines and all we have on our wee top, as it were, when we get before the Lord and he says, have you won any souls for me?
Have you led anybody to the Lord? Have you told people about me? Have you ever said, sir, are you saved? Do you know the Lord?
Lady, are you saved? Do you know Jesus?
I'll tell you, Jesus is coming again. And he wants us to let our light shine.
Now, we believe in doctrine. Don't get me wrong. We believe in doctrine. But that's after you get saved. Now, salvation, this is doctrine as well.
It is. Jesus preached doctrine.
Certainly did. And when he preached a strong doctrine, many of them couldn't take it and they went away from him. We know that. But I'm preaching for those tonight that need an assurance that they can be saved and know it.
Saving faith means that you must depend upon Jesus Christ personally, that you rely upon him and you commit yourself to him. To nobody else but to the Lord.
I tell you, I really believe God isolated me when I started out. I mean that. People say to me, it was terrible, you went to jail. It's the best thing ever happened. There's nothing terrible about it. It was God's will. Because I hadn't got time to listen. Anybody. Or nobody. I was doing my own thing. I was going my own way. Led by the prince of the power of the air.
that now worketh in the children of disobedience. I was unruly, unlawful, unthankful, unholy, reprobate in mind and nature, and I'm telling you that today as a preacher. And if you think you weren't that, I would question whether you're in or not. Because every single one of us was sinners by nature and sinners by birth. Oh, but brother, I never stole and I never done this. Did you ever hear Goody Two Shoes? I'll tell you what, you'll never come to God as Goody Two Shoes. He'll never take you. You need to come to God as a repentant sinner. You need to come knowing you're a sinner, that you need a machine. You need to acknowledge you're filthy and unclean before God. Goody Two Shoes won't do. I've told a couple of lies. Are we white ones? There's no such thing as white ones. They're all dirty, filthy black ones. All of them. And the devil started with the lies, and he's the father of all lies. But I'm glad Jesus conceived the liar, the adulterer, the drunkard, and all sorts. He conceived every one of them. And he's a savior for no one but sinners. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad. But he got me by myself. Where I was away from everybody and everything and locked away, then the Lord could talk to me. Sometimes God wants us to get away from everything so he can talk to us. We're too busy. How many will agree with me tonight? We're living in an age that's too busy. You know what a fellow said to me the other day? He says, Tom, we used to have 12 weeks to do a house. Now we have 6 weeks. 6 weeks. But they didn't say to us, because you build it in 6 weeks, we'll give you double the wages. The wages are still the same. Now, I'm going to tell you something. And you fellas that's in the building and stuff know as well as me. It used to be, when you laid a base of concrete, you weren't allowed to build on it for so many days. Because you know why? It had to set up. Now they pour it on a Monday and they build on it on a Tuesday. And I'll tell you exactly what happens. In a couple of weeks, the walls are cracking. And I've seen it. They can't get it done fast enough. A rat race. It's a rat race. And everybody's rushing. People so busy they can't come to church. People so busy they can't read their Bible. People so busy they can't even pray. That's what the devil wants. That's what the devil wants. Now it's good to work and all them things. We all need work. The Lord knows that. But when anything takes the place of the Lord, we need to get rid of it. I don't care what it is. I worked for a man years ago, and he says to me, Tom, you need to decide between what you're doing and this work. I said, well, that's easy. The work's second. What I'm doing's first. He said, I'll have to sack you. He says, go ahead. You think I'm worried? Because I'm not. Do you know why? Because that man never reared me.
Amen.
I lived before I ever seen him. And I lived after I seen him. And see that man? In 1 year, he was dead. He got out of the back of an ambulance, and they said everything was all right. And he got out, and when he went to the house, he dropped stone dead. And he was 40-something years of age then. Now, no matter how fast he built his houses, or how much debt he was in, it's no use to him. If you haven't got Jesus Christ, you have nothing. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and in the end loses his own soul? Oh, I'd rather have the Lord. Amen. I tell you, these people know I'm telling you the truth. It's not the first time. I worked years ago. I was making more money over 20 years ago than what I'm making now. I made good money. I used to fix kitchens and stuff, and I could make really good money on grip work. But I'm telling you the truth tonight. Sometimes the Holy Spirit would move in me and tell me not even to go into work today. And if he ever did, there was a reason behind it. And maybe he would tell me to go and pray for somebody, or wait in the house and pray all day. Nobody came, but just to wait on him. And I would do it. I would try my best to do it, because God knows what he's doing. God's a purpose for everyone. You ever feel led to pray, you need to pray. Even if you're driving or no matter where you are, if you feel to take a moment and pray, stop everything and just take a few moments and pray about it. If you're going through a hard time, take a few moments and tell the Lord about it. They say C.H. Spurgeon, when C.H. Spurgeon prayed with people, they said, you know, he just talked to God like he was right there, like his best friend. And he is your best friend. Hallelujah. Now I want to read you some scriptures. I want to go through several scriptures just to make the point of what I'm saying tonight. And I won't hold you as long tonight. 1 John chapter 1 verse 12. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I tell you, there's no name that God is there. Gives you power. Brother, where's the power? In the name. Not in the name of the church, but in the name of Jesus Christ, the power is. There's power in that name. So much power in it. He said, if you have I been lifted up, if you preach Christ, people will get saved. If you pray over people in the name of the Lord, they'll get healed. If the elders anoint with oil in the name of the Lord, they'll get healed. And if they commit sins, they'll be forgiven. That's the power in that name. That's a powerful name. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. This idea that God doesn't love everybody, who told you that? Because the Bible didn't. My Bible says God so loved the world. Amen. Who believes that tonight in this meeting house? God loves the world. Aren't you glad the Lord loved you? My, when you're away from God, he still loved you. Sister, the Lord loves you tonight. With the same love he loved you with. When you first could see him. That blesses me. He's never changed. Imagine if you ever met someone and you really loved them with all your heart. That's the way the Lord loves you tonight. Still the same. His love's unchanging. Superior. It's not just a human love. It's a supernatural love. I have loved you. And he says, I've given myself for you. I've given myself for you. Oh, but did you see what he done? The Lord still loves him. Did you see what you done? The Lord still loves him. Even if they feel him 1,000 times, he loves him. Think of the wee man sitting at the bar of the night, intoxicated, and God loves him. The wee woman in the corner, the Lord loves her. Because God is love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Verse 18. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. All you have to do is believe in the name and take the name. You know, when we get baptized in water, we're taking the name. We're taking the name. We're dying to the world. We're resurrecting to Christ. We're saying, I'm dead and now I'm alive. And I'm taking the name. The name that's above every name. Hallelujah. Taking the name. Oh, thank God. And he says, Acts 2:38, repent ye therefore and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, eternal life. Amen. Oh, but what's the next verse say? For the promise is unto you and to your children and to them that's afar off. Is that me and you? Certainly it is. Amen. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. God called you, he couldn't have came. Aren't you glad the Lord called you? Maybe he's calling somebody tonight. John 3 verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in him. John 5 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. And shall not come into condemnation, that means judgment, but is passed from death on to life. Amen. They can't die. Amen. The body could die, but the soul can't die. There's a part that will die if the rapture doesn't take place. There's a part that can't die. It's not great. Amen. Great. Hallelujah. Look at verse 40 of John 6. John chapter 6, verse 40. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him. I told you I'm emphasizing this point. May have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is God's word. God cannot lie. Verse 47 of chapter 6. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me have everlasting life. Amen. How do you get it? Believe on the Lord. You see, many, many times it is plainly said, the one who believes in Christ, that is, one who trusts him, depends upon him, has everlasting life, has salvation. Look what Peter said to Cornelius about Jesus Christ. And a brother was near this morning. Acts 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believe in him shall receive remission of sins. How? By believing on him. Why? Pause a moment. Why would you receive remission of sins when you believe in the Lord? Because the Lord Jesus took your place on the cross. And when you believe in him, you're accepting what he done for you. And the penalty of death and the curse of death and everything was laid in him. And you accept him and believe him. And what was on you, he takes. And you're free. That's how simple it is. Galatians tells us that. Galatians chapter 3. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon the tree. Jesus Christ become a curse, so that the curse on us could be lifted and broken. You're no longer under a curse. People go to meetings, you know, they call it what's called deliverance meetings, and they want to lift curses of people. And I believe some of it goes too far. I believe that. Jesus lifts it off you. When you truly get saved, he breaks the curse, because he took it on the cross. Do you believe that tonight? Oh, but I might need to go and confess to some man. Do you know the man you're confessing to? I tell you, you need to be careful. That fella you're confessing to, you don't know him. If you only could know all of his life, you mightn't confess to him so quickly. But there is a man called Jesus. And my Bible says he had no sin, he knew no sin. He's a spotless, the blameless Son of the living God. He's my priest, my high priest. And he ever liveth to make intercession for me. And he's seated at the right hand, that means all power and authority, of God for me. He's praying for you tonight. Do you realize that? There's a man praying for you in the glory. That's the truth. The bells are ringing in heaven. Because Jesus appeased God. He appeased God. God was pleased with the sacrifice, and the wrath of God was appeased. Isn't that wonderful? There's nothing we have to do, just believe. You see, every prophet in the Old Testament bore witness to Jesus Christ, and that through his name, whosoever believed in him had remission and forgiveness of his sins. Paul preached the same thing to the Jews in Antioch It's chapter 13 of Acts, verse 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. That's Paul's message. And it's Peter's message. Can we agree on that? It's Paul's message and it's Peter's message. Paul and Peter's preaching the same message. That through this man is forgiveness of sins preached to you. Through his name, you're forgiven. Oh, hallelujah. Now, if they preached it, we need to preach it. Hallelujah. Because they're the man that was with them. They're the man that received the Holy Ghost. Peter did. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came the sound as of a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house where they were gathered, and cloven tongues of fire rested in each one of them. The Holy Ghost come on them. And Peter that doubted and did all the things, and we heard all with the cock crow and all the different things about Peter, that same Peter was converted. Because Jesus told him, when you are converted, Peter, hallelujah, you will strengthen your brethren. Now Peter's converted. And he stands up filled with the Holy Ghost. He preaches a sermon from the book of Joel. Hallelujah. That God would pour His Spirit out on all flesh. And he preaches right down till Acts 2:38. Peter preached it. He's the man that preached it full of the Holy Ghost. Then we have Paul the Apostle. He was with the original 12. Father said to me once, all the apostles ceased after the 12. I said, are you sure about that? Absolutely, brother. I said, well, you're in trouble if that's what you believe. Because I said, what are you going to do with Paul? He wasn't with the original 12. How many knows that? He wasn't with the 12 when the Lord picked him. Jesus had already went back to heaven. And how many knows that Paul persecuted the church and had them thrown in jail and all sorts? But while he came down the road to Damascus, there was a bright light come on him, and he was blind.
He was upright. And he fell down on the horse. Was upright?
And he said, who are you, Lord? And he says, I am Jesus. Where was he? It was a bright light.
That's the pillar of fire. How many knows that? That's the same angel of the covenant that led the children of Israel in the Old Testament to Moses saying, how many knows that?
That's the same God in that form. God can change His form. You remember, God can change His form. It's called amorpha. God can change His form at any time He wants. And He appeared to Paul.
And that light said, I am Jesus. I am Jesus. And He says, you're persecuting me when you persecute my people.
Isn't that something? When somebody's against you, they're against the Lord. And you know the whole story. You know the bit that amazes me.
Do you know what amazes me? He never even got the Holy Ghost there.
How many knows that? God led him down to another man. And God already had spoke to the other man by vision and angels, is that right? And that man laid his hands on him and Paul received the Holy Ghost. That's how God works. Now you know that the Lord could have given the Holy Ghost back on that road. He could have done it, but He didn't do it. I believe God was showing us something. The Bible says that through the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost came in people. Is that the Bible? How many knows it can still happen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. God never changes. All for the Holy Spirit. And I tell you, this is the same Paul that preached here. Be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. My sins are gone. I'm justified. A fella said one time, and I'm going to have to close. A fella said to a friend of mine one time, he read a wee thing to him, and he said, you could never be justified in this life. Now I'm closing this. And the fella said, is that right? Now this man was a minister that said this. Not only was a minister, a highly decorated one. I'll say it like that. And a man older than me, and I'm 53, a lot older than me. He'd been in his 60s. A big name. But there is only one big name. That's the problem.
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Jesus is the big name. Everything else is only a tittle-tattle name. The fella said to him, what my Bible says, brother, some of you were fornicators. Some of you were adulterers. But now you're in Christ. And you're justified.
Amen.
You're justified. Why are you justified? Because you're in Christ.
Amen.
And because you're in Christ, you're justified. And you're glorified.
Amen.
And the Lord goes, let's stand our feet this evening. Aren't you glad that the sins of your past gone?
Amen.
Are you in Christ tonight?
Amen.
Have you took the name? Oh, take the name. Take the name.
There's no name like the name of Jesus Christ. In my name, you'll cast out devils. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name. With every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. If there's one online tonight or one in this service and you want prayer, just slip your hand up before the Lord tonight. God bless you, son. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for assurance of salvation. Him that hath the Son hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. Translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, what a Savior. Lord Jesus, I pray for the hands raised tonight. Lord, give a confirmation of faith upon that man or woman. We know it's not by feeling, but it's by the Word of God. And the Word of God is clear. We thank you for your Word. Confirm your Word with signs and with wonders and with divers miracles in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Oh God, bless the listening and audience tonight. Thinking of a wee woman this evening. Lord, I pray, God, you'll touch her. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, touch that woman. Do a miracle upon her. In the name of the Lord. Bless all that's listening and all that's here. Bless our brother and sister as they come, and as we come to the close of the service, we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, brother. Don't forget our prayer and Bible study on Thursday. I was going to say Wednesday night, but we don't have a hall Wednesday night. Thursday night. God bless each one. Maybe pray for us for next weekend. I've been asked to, can I speak about when you go over, the body change, going over, heaven, all them things. I don't know what way to go about it, but pray for us. But the Lord will just open it up. And I know it will help people. And the Lord bless each one.
Amen. Praise God. Let us sing that little chorus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Then we'll sing a hymn before we leave. Praise God. Blessed be the name.